pull. Ryan gritted his teeth as he pulled as hard as he could.
You got it!
They both watched as the wheel revolved once more, coming around empty. One section was stained scarlet. Then, 30 or 40 yards out in the frothing wake, they saw the black shape of the body of the captain drift away to the south, taking his last journey down the Sippy. Ryan climbed back over the rail to the solid safety of the deck.
Ah, oh, that was close.
Wheel's slowing. Must be coming toward our landing place.
We best get back to meet them.
Ryan wiped spray from his face, leading the way to their cabin. The Sekhmen escorted Ryan and JB to the gangplank leading onto the muddy shore. The fog had cleared, but darkness was galloping across the big river.
Where's Houston? Like they've said my farewells, and thanks to him.
Seems to have vanished. You two wouldn't know anything about that now, would you? Seems like you had a score to settle with him.
Not us, friend.
I ain't your friend, Dix. None of us on this boat are your friend.
Is. You should say is your friend, not are your friend. Get it right.
Fuck you. Won't be so smart when you get among the stickies. You got your map safe? Wouldn't want you to get fucking lost.
Safe and snug. Just make sure that no harm comes to Christie or the others, or there'll be a blood reckoning.
You're scaring me to death, Mr. Carter. Don't you see that you're both dead men, Carter? Then your slut, the rest of them, all dead.
Talk comes cheap.
JB fingered the trigger of the scatter gun.
Time you was gone. Down the plank and into the woods. We'll see you in a day or so, maybe.
If you see us, it'll mean we're likely dead. But the most likely is that you don't see us. And that's going to mean that you're dead. Think on that when you go to bed tomorrow. Wonder where we are. How close we are to you. And sleep well.
He led JB down the bouncy plank. They then picked their way along the narrow strip of beach. They both turned as the walkway was dragged back on board the Golden Eagle. Ryan and JB stood together, watching the vessel depart.
Look.
JB pointed with the Uzi at the sealed top deck, where two figures were staring at them. Ryan, on an impulse, lifted the rifle in salute, getting a farewell wave from the Magus.
You and me, like old times. Just the two of us against Wolfram and the Magus. All we need is traitor.
The sun was virtually gone as they walked into the dark, silent deeps of the forest. From the map, it looked as if they had something in the region of 30 miles to cover before they reached the home base of Wolfram and the Magus, through treacherous sections of what used to be the Shawnee National Forest and Swamp on the western flanks of the old state of Illinois. They had to travel past the region where the Stickies might be holed up and waiting for any pursuers or intruders. It was a deserted and mysterious settlement where the plan showed personnel mines and traps had been scattered.
Best find somewhere to hole up for the night. Lord knows what kind of muty creatures might be stalking around here.
Ryan nodded, slinging the powerful hunting rifle across his shoulder.
Take to the trees?
Good as any place. Kindling's all wet from that storm, so we'd struggle to get a fire lit. Yeah, let's find a place to get off the ground.
Ryan had managed a few scattered periods of sleep, waking with a jerk that nearly pushed him off balance. He had taken the precaution, as had JB, of slipping his belt around one wrist and buckling it around a stout branch. The armorer fumbled for his spectacles, taking them out of an inside pocket.
Not the best of nights, compadre.
Thought I heard the sound of an explosion somewhere around 2 o'clock. I listened for it, but there was no more sound. And there was a noisy pack of coyotes hunting over to the east a couple hours later.
Heard the animals. Didn't hear any explosion. Must have been during one of the bits of sleep I managed. Few and far between.
Don't fancy our chances of finding much food in this place.
There's that settlement on the map on our line of march toward the fortress.
Ryan readied himself for the scramble down to the ground below.
Let's try for it. Should get there around the middle of the day.
They had made good progress. A few minutes after leaving their nighttime refuge, they struck a narrow hunting trail that snaked through the woods, eventually leading to a deserted and overgrown blacktop that ran roughly north and south. It was marked on their map and appeared to take them directly toward the small ville. There was no sign at all of the road being used recently, and no trace of any kind of human habitation. The friends walked alongside each other, constantly on the alert for any threat.
What do we do if we can't rescue the others?
Have to go along with what they want.
Trader used to tell us that when you had no choice, it made things a shit lot easier. No worrying about making a decision.
Means getting at the stickies to start the plantation and mine going again.
Wonder what happened to those three foremen that vanished. Wolfram reckoned the stickies got them.
Ryan stepped around a patch of leprous fungus with pale green spots on a sickly yellow top. He'd come across them elsewhere in Deathlands, knowing that to crush them with your boots released a cloud of almost invisible noxious spores that affected sight and breathing. They nestled in the center of a delicate ring of the ubiquitous, fragile yellow and white flowers known as Deathlands daisies.
Think they might have done a runner?
Maybe. What if the stickies have completely abandoned the area? Means there's no hope of getting the slave labor to work the mine and the land. What do we do then?
Then we go in and do us some heavy chilling.
They passed a lopsided billboard. The board was pocked with bullet holes leading down to the left, so badly weathered that it was almost illegible. Ryan stopped and wiped off a coating of gray-green lichen.
3 miles ahead, Paul Burgess Art Village. Admission rates published at entrance. World-famous displays of this top artist's work.
That must be the ville marked on our map. Didn't say it was some kind of art show.
Wonder if it's occupied.
Soon find out.
As they walked, Ryan told his partner about a bizarre dream that had disturbed his sleep.
I saw a sullen, lead-colored sea with small breakers. I was watching from the top of a cliff, looking out to where Christy was doing some swimming. I saw a red hair, like fire in the water, about a quarter mile off. Everything seemed calm and in the ordinary. Then I saw the sharks.
Big whites?
No, more like basking sharks. But muty large, two of them, 40 or 50 feet long. I saw the flukes first, then they rolled together, showing their tails and dorsals. They were close to the beach below me, between Christy and safety. She was swimming in, stopping to wave to me. From where she was, the sharks weren't visible.
On the left, they were passing a small sign that drew their attention to a pre-dark historical marker, showing the spot where Lieutenant Zebedee Anstruther had established a trading post in June of 1849.
So then I stood and shouted and waved, but Christy couldn't hear me above the noise of the breakers. She trod water and waved, thinking I was just greeting her. The sharks sensed movement and started toward her, slow and ponderous and menacing. Nothing at all that I could do. Just stood and watched as they got within about 100 feet. Then they both dived and vanished.
Then what?
Then I woke up.
Off and away.
They rounded a gentle bend in the rutted ribboned highway, stopping as they saw the burned-out building.
Stickies.
It looked as though it had been a roadside eatery, maybe serving burgers, subs, and chili stew. The roof had gone, as had the windows and doors. Only a blackened shell remaining.
Yeah, could smell the gasoline and roasted meat.
They stood together a few paces from the ruin.
How long ago?
Ryan shook his head, looking at the damp ashes.
3 or 4 days. Difficult to tell. 3 bodies inside. 1 a child.
Typical sticky's funnin'.
The fire had covered most of the details of the mutilations. The corpses resembling 3 charred, crusted logs... with jagged branches that had once been arms and legs. But it was still possible to see where sharp knives had been used to slash and hack before the burning.
At least we know the sick bastards are still around this neck of the woods.
Or they were 3 days ago.
Both men suddenly stared at each other. The forest was totally still, and Ryan felt the short hairs prickling at his nape. Something or somebody was watching them from the dark shadows around. JB's head turned from side to side, trying to catch the distinctive smell of the sticky skin. He caught Ryan's eye and shrugged, gesturing with the barrel of the Uzi to their left, away behind the wrecked building. Ryan shrugged back, indicating his own doubts.
Stand real still, Outlanders. With them nice blasters down on the dirt, we got you well covered.
I don't think so. We don't mean any trouble, and you got no reason to fear us. Come out and talk.
You seen any sticky fuckers around here, stranger?
Just seen their work right here. Can't mistake it.
Yeah, that was Ma and Pa Joden. Tommy ran a fast food joint. He got burned 3 nights ago.
Easier to